into the temple. Who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple? Asked and asked. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look at us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The Bible speaks of a man who was completely having a big problem. His problem, he was a beggar. The Bible calls him a beggar. And he was sitting at the temple all the times. And people were entering the temple and he would request for alms. He would request for gifts. On this particular day, I want you to understand one thing here, because we're getting into a very powerful message today. The Bible says, every time people were entering the temple, this man would ask for alms, ask for help, ask. And I just want you to look at this statement. He was asking for help. And the Bible says he was sitting at the gate. And the name of the temple was called Beautiful. And he was sitting at the beautiful gate. But the man's life was not a beautiful life. And he was living by asking from people. Unfortunately, he was a man. The Bible says he was a man. And this man, for him to live, he had to ask for something to be given to him. That's how his life was. And I can tell you, I can sense somebody's life. I can sense that. I'm telling you, I'm sensing someone who is in the temple. He's in the church and has been asking. Some are asking for jobs. Some are asking for contracts. Some are asking for their jobs to be given back. Some are asking, I don't know what they're asking, but you see, they're like this man at the beautiful gate asking for something. The only problem is this man was lame. And he was not asking for healing to come to his life. He accepted it. This is how I shall be. When I go in the house of the Lord, I know God can't do anything to me. The only thing I'll ask from God or from the people is at least they should give me some cents, some changes, some coins to give me for me to take home. Do you know that we have got some people who have accepted their problem? There are people who have accepted, this is how I must be. I am poor, our family background, this is how we are. This is how we are. I don't have to drive a car. I have to be in a taxi all the times. I live in a rain and I have to be borrowing money and I have to be looking for that, I have to be doing that. So I have accepted the problem to a level whereby even if they are in church, they are not in church to address their issue. They are in church. They'll ask them, "What should I pray for you?" They'll be like, "Pray for my mother. My mother is sick." But if you see their life needs intervention. They have accepted they are fired. They have accepted this is how they're supposed to be. But when they met Peter, Peter didn't see what the man was used to. Peter said, "We must handle the real problem." The real problem of this man was not money. The real problem was he was lame. His legs had no strength. And the Bible says, Peter went and put strength on his legs. The Bible said, when he said, rise up, it says strength came on his feet. That's what I want to do today. I want strength to come on the feet of your spiritual life.
I receive.
Strength to come on the feet of your calling.
I receive.
Strength to come on the feet of your business.
I receive.
Strength. The Bible says strength came on his feet. He said, look at us. Peter said, look at us. And I'm just looking at this problem as the biggest problem. It's a conference for men. How many here men are not having any property in their life? They don't have land. They don't have a house. They don't have anything. I want to see your hands up. And I want to tell you something. You will leave this place with something.
I receive.
Now, I'm not joking. How many men are building something but haven't finished? How many men are building something but they have not finished because of finances? I'm here to tell you something. Can I see the hands? Oh, yeah. Do you know what? You have come at the right time. Because your hands will touch success.
I receive.
It's a conference for men. Say, I hear you, prophet.
I hear you, prophet.
How many men here don't have a car? How many men don't have a car? Say, bye-bye, poverty.
Bye-bye, poverty.
I can't hear you. Iron Man! Sit down for a moment. I want to address this thing. You see, as I said, it's a mixture of preaching and motivation. So you must just bear with me. If you're watching, you're like, what is he preaching about? Okay, I'm preaching about what I'm preaching about, okay? Hear me, and hear me very well. It's going to be a mixture, as I've said, of scriptures and motivations. Because you are a man. The Bible says that God made a man in his image. In the image of God, he made. Now, I want to say this to you because you have something that you are missing somewhere, which you have been missing all these years, but you're going to catch it in this conference. Allow me to keep on asking questions. How many men here, they are not working, but maybe their partners, wives or girlfriends are working? Can I see your hand up? We thank God for their jobs, but I want to say this to you. After this conference,
oh yes,
you shall become greater than them.
I receive.
They have done their part. Time has come, you're going to spoil them with... Oh.
I receive.
What God will do upon you, you're going to thank them better. You will be like, oh, you stood with me. It's my time to stand with you. I'm talking to a man in this place.
Oh yes.
Now, let me tell you something. The gift I'm giving you is this bottle. Okay? Iron Man oil. Whether somebody likes it or not.
Oh, yes.
If you use this gift.
Oh, yes.
That car is guaranteed.
I receive.
That house is guaranteed.
I receive.
That job is guaranteed.
I receive.
Somebody shout yes.
Yes.
Let me say this to you. Let me tell you, I know what I'm talking about. I have prayed for this oil. I asked God. I said, Lord, give us men in a time like this We need brave and strong men. I said, God, we need strong and brave men. I said, God, we need men in the time like this. Men with great hearts. Men who stand with the ministry. Men who support the church build the kingdom. And the Lord said, I shall command you on that day of the conference, you shall give them oil. For whosoever shall take the oil and use it on their heads, I, the Lord, shall open their destinies.
Oh, yes.
I shall make a way in the desert.
On
the sea, I shall open the journey for them. Now, if you are watching me, if you are right here, and if you have this oil, I'm telling you, this oil, all men who cannot give birth to a child, you want to have a child, all men with issues as men in their bedroom, this oil, what are you talking about? Iron Man! Now watch this. So every person, begin to think big. Start thinking big now. Now, how will we achieve this? Sit down for a moment. As I'm saying to you, all right, all men who are applying for jobs and they're not working now, can I see their hands up? Wow, I have so much work to do. But no problems. I'll give you a gift. A prophet will give you a reward. A prophet will give you what?
A reward.
No problem. Now, as I said, the man at the beautiful gate, he was a man who, he embraced his problem. The biggest issue we have with men is they begin to accept their problem. I don't want you to accept your problem. I want you to deny your problem. Don't accept this how I'm supposed to be living. That's not how you're supposed to. That's not your life. Say after me. I will never be what I have been all these years.
I will never be what I have been all these years.
Peter said, man, you see, Peter was seeing the man. The man accepted his problem. Peter said, no. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. There are things men of God can see on you, which you don't see. That's why I've called on you to come over here. You're sitting on that place up there. Up there. Hear me. The reason I called for you is because I have seen you are begging for something wrong. You need a real thing. You need to be on your feet again. As a man, you need to walk again.
Oh, yes.
As a man, you need to move again.
Oh, yes.
Now watch this. Watch this. Acts chapter 2, verse 29. The Bible says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet. Okay, so David was a prophet. The Bible says, David being a prophet. David being a prophet. What did he do being a prophet? So David was a prophet. What did he do? David did the following things. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. He raised a man, and this man, he called his name Adino. Somebody say Adino. The word Adino is a Hebrew word, which means gentle, which means delicate, and also it also means tender. David raised a man. David was a prophet, But he raised a man and called his name Adino. The word Adino means a man who was raised, he was mentored to be a gentleman. He was a gentleman. Not just any other man. He was a gentleman. Tell your neighbor, are you a gentleman? Tell your neighbor, every gentleman cannot rape a woman. Tell them again, every gentleman cannot rob. A gentleman cannot beat his wife. Tell your neighbor, it takes a great gentleman to say, I am sorry. So we're going to go then the scripture. But David, being a prophet, raised up a man and called his name Adino. This Adino, he was a man who was taught by David manners of how to live. He was tender-hearted. He was a man who was taught to be delicate. And he was trained to be gentle. Somebody said, David, being a prophet, he raised a man.
He raised a man.
And called him Adino.
And called him Adino.
He was one of David's men.
He was one of David's men.
So I asked myself a question. Me, being a prophet, have I raised my own Adinos? Have I raised my own men who are gentlemen, who are delicate, who are tender-hearted? When I hear a report one day of you misbehaving in this country, in South Africa, there's a cry everywhere where rape issues are rising up. Social injustice and a lot of men. And I pray to God that you must listen to this. It takes a man raised in a strong church and a strong principles to live differently. We can all live like men, but it takes one to live differently. It makes one to be different. Somebody say Adino.
Adino.
Adino means what? Means what? No, I can't hear you. One achievement of David was he raised men. Adino was not a small guy. And I'm going to show you the achievements of Adino. Because he was trained. He was principled. He wasn't just like any other normal man. And because of that, he began to have achievements. As a man who wants to be gentle, a man who wants to have a spirit of understanding, to grow up in the knowledge. And I want you to understand this. How many here have got business proposals? Can I see your hands up? How many here that want to venture into businesses? When we are raising the Adinos, we raise your mindsets. When we are raising the Adinos, we raise your mindsets. You must develop a monitoring strategy, self-monitoring strategy. Write this down. Self-monitoring strategy. What do I mean when I say self-monitoring strategy? In self-monitoring strategy, it's where a person is being raised into becoming sober-minded in order to achieve certain goals and objectives. Understand this. Number one, Self-monitoring strategy is when you monitor your progress. We may have people who think have achieved nothing, yet they achieve a lot. And we have people who think they have achieved so much, yet they have achieved nothing. It's important to be sitting down and finding out, what am I achieving? The biggest problem with men is we have men who want to reach the finishing line. That's all they're looking at. But in achievement, it's not about reaching the finishing line. It's about following the principles. When you are running on a race, they give you a line. And when you are running, you run in your line. When you move out from that lane to another lane, it may be a problem for you. So it's not just about running to arrive, but it's about making sure you are running correctly. What have I achieved? I remember one time, that day I had nothing. I had done nothing. And I was like, what have I achieved today? Trust me, I was shocked. I had achieved more than all other days just by sitting down. Because I got a call in the evening that the project which we wanted to do had collapsed. So I did a lot by not involving myself into the project. Sometimes doing nothing is doing something. Sometimes not planning. Sometimes not planning at all, it is planning. Let me tell you. For example, you want to go into a competition with another team, and you're planning, this is how we're going to do it. We'll take them by surprise. You're planning. Huh? And you have called people to plan with. Whatsoever it could be, whether you're a coach. So there is a soccer tomorrow, and you're telling your team, so this is how we're going to do. You're going to mark that one. After that's the planning, right? After finishing, one person from there defects and tells them all what you planned. You will be shocked when you go in the field. The moment you start, you are marked. They send 4-4 to mark one player. So, for me, if I was a coach, I would plan nothing. When a few minutes to go into the ground, that's when I would say, sit down. You will do this, you're going to do that. So sometimes not planning, it's a plan. I didn't hear. Sometimes not planning. Some of us will stop planning sometimes. Because when you plan,